Ready? The hour of recess having expired, the Senate will come to order. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Madam President.
Okay.
Madam President. Without objection, Senator, the order of business of introduction of special guests.
Introduction of special guests. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. Since you introduced me, I'd like to introduce my legislative director, the hardworking Matt Michelson.
Well, let's welcome that hardworking legislative director. Other introduction of special guests. Senator from Buchanan.
Madam President, I'd like to speak on a point of personal privilege.
Senator, proceed on your point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to make note of my lovely wife sitting to your left and my right, but that's not why I rose. I rose to read this. Once, Mayor Sly called Mayor Slay to chat with him one sunny day. "Sir, how are things out east today?" said Mayor Sly to Mayor Slay. "Well, Sly," said Slay, "they're not so good. We'd take our cops back if we could, but they won't let us, and they should." "Agree," said Sly to Mayor Slay. "I hope you try to find a way. Police by rights are ours, I say. We'd like to get ours too someday." "It's hard to balance books," said Slay, "when we can't set detectives' pay and fire them when they disobey." "But Slay," rebutted Mayor Sly, "you ought to know the reason why. Corruption's what your foes decry, what said your town exemplifies." "But Mayor Sly," cried Mayor Slay, "it isn't true these things they say. St. Louis isn't bad, no way. Corruption-free is what we boast." "Well, maybe not, but then almost. We certainly don't have the most. It's not reported in the Post." Now, my friend," said Sly to Slay, "the Post ignores the things they say. They always look the other way. Why, notice that you never read about the officer who said corruption is somewhat widespread. The Post ignored his tale instead. Why, in your town, it's just not news when cops rap aldermen accused of shaking down a vendor whose permit was issued by a ruse." "You've got a point," said Slay to Sly. "We love our paper. It's no lie. Oh, yes, the Post's our best ally. To get our cops back, we must look like statesmen pure, who never took a bribe and always threw the book at anyone we thought a crook. You Slay me, Slay, and you're Sly, Sly." The two men saw things eye to eye, and laughing hard, they said goodbye. Then Sly grinned as he stared afar and called his driver for the car. "Whereto?" the driver asked. "Not far. Just take me to the KC Star." And in St. Louis, to this day, the folks are told that all's okay, and that the state should give away the cops to Mayors Sly and Slay. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator from Seuss. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, President. Introduction of special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Okay, thank you, Madam President. It is my privilege today that I have some people from my home county, and that is Erica Gooch, Elizabeth Whaley, Bailey Moore, Austin Wood, and Lindsay Lauer, and their teacher, Rita Legan, and also her husband, Kyle Legan, who's the county commissioner that I had the privilege of knowing for many, many years, and they're here with the sophomore pilgrimage class. And it's a great honor to have them here on the Senate floor today, and I would appreciate the body to welcome them.
Would the guests of the Senator from Polk please rise and be welcome to the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, Senate will the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar. Senator from the 5th, Senate Bill 48.
President, Madam President, would you lay that bill on the informal calendar, please?
The bill will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd. Senate Bill 230, Senator from Atchison. Senator from the 23rd.
My apologies, Madam President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the formal calendar.
Senator, would you call Senate Bill... Senator, the correct procedure is I've already called Senate Bill 230, so would you kindly please request that that bill be laid on the informal calendar?
Madam President, would you lay that bill on the informal calendar, please?
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar.
Now, Madam President,
Senator,
without objection, Senator, the order of business of House bills on third reading, formal calendar.
House bills on third reading, formal calendar. Senator from Boone. House bill number 14, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Madam President. Will you please lay that bill over?
That bill will be laid on the informal calendar. House Bill 15, also Senator from Boone.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. Will you please lay that bill over as well?
The bill will be laid on the informal calendar. House Bill 71. Senator from the 23rd, do you wish to lay that bill on the informal calendar as well? House Bill 71. Yes.
Please lay that bill over on the informal calendar.
Bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Bill 61.
Formal calendar.
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Bill 174, Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House Bill number 174 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The bill's before the body. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 174 deals with the Board of Curators of the University of Missouri. As we painfully heard this morning, we are losing a congressional district. And because of that, it does bring some ambiguity into how many Board of Curators we have at the University of Missouri. Basically, what this legislation says is at least one voting member, but no more than two to be appointed from each congressional district. In fact, the issue is so popular, Missouri State University, as well as the Coordinating Board of Higher Education, also came on board. Be glad to take any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator from Johnson has moved that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 174 be third read and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from Johnson.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you very much for yielding, Senator. I appreciate the inquiry. I'm trying to get, quite candidly, I didn't know we were going to get to this. I'm trying to get to House Bill 174. I know that you've had legislation that dealt with this. Is this similar to the way that you wrote it on your Senate bill, or is this different?
It's almost similar. If you recall, Senator, a couple of weeks ago when we had the Senate version,
right.
The word coordinating was stricken from our language in many, many different references. What is different in this bill is that came over from the House, the word coordinating is back in, so it is Coordinating Board of Higher Education. So that would be the only difference. My understanding is when our Senate bill went over the House, they put the word back in, and I think in talking with the person, the maker of the amendment here in the Senate, that was okay because the important thing was to make that statement about coordinating or lack
right.
of coordinating.
Understood. We've had historically debate about whether or not a student could be on the University of Missouri. Did your education committee hear that, and we just kind of shook out, I guess, in your recommendation that we don't have a voting member as a student curator
for the
university?
Well, nothing would preclude a student from being appointed today on
the board of
curators, but there was nothing that was put in the legislation to specifically...
That we guarantee, just like we don't guarantee a faculty member, or we guarantee...
Right, retiree, whatever.
Okay. Will this play out depending on where the governor and the Senate confirms? Because we're going to keep nine on the University of Missouri's curators,
right,
and we're going to go down to eight congressional districts, whether we pass a bill or the judiciary writes it. But we are going...
Either way.
I think either way, everyone understands that we will go down to eight congressmen and women in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. We will leave it to the appointment of the governor and then the Senate confirmation of which congressional district gets
to. Absolutely. Yeah, that has not changed whatsoever.
Okay. So we'll still keep nine, but nine are going to have to come out of eight.
Correct.
Okay.
So it'd be the main language is at least one voting member per congressional district, but not more than two.
Okay. Do we have any idea what'll happen? Because we don't know what these districts will look like. I don't know specifically where all of the people that live that are currently on the University of Missouri curators, what happens if through the redistricting process we find out that three are in one congressional district instead of two, or two may be in two different districts?
Right, and that could happen. I mean,
okay, would this law then be in violation and they would have to be removed, or do we grandfather in through the term the current confirmed and on the board people?
Well, I guess the way that I would look at that is, even if we don't change this legislation, we'd still have the same problem. I mean, it could happen where whether we allocate that we go for nine, it could still happen the way it is.
Right.
My understanding is that they would be grandfathered in, and that would be for those vacancies that would occur after January 1st, 2013.
I just wanted, I mean, because I'm just thinking out loud. I don't necessarily oppose your bill. I'm not trying to delay your bill.
Right.
Thinking out loud with you. I wouldn't want that occurrence to be where one governor, you know, because we have staggered terms. You know, these individuals serve for 6 years,
six
I think.
Years, right.
And we have staggered terms on when they come up, so that no one governor, and this is my word, can pack the curators. You know, different governors appoint different people,
right,
and you would have to almost be a two-term governor. Well, even a two-term governor over 8 years, I don't think would be able to appoint everyone that's on the curators. Now, they could appoint a majority, but I don't think that they could appoint all of them.
Right.
If this bill goes in as written, would that give the opportunity, if these congressional districts came out where I talked about and we had people that were possibly multiple people in multiple congressional districts, could the governor force a resignation and then reappoint? I want to make sure it's on a going forward basis, and I just didn't see that language in there and didn't know if it came up during any of the debate or discussions on this.
It did not come up. This particular statute deals with appointments. It doesn't necessarily deal with service or residency and things. So be my understanding that this deals with appointments of new Board of Curators.
Okay. Yeah, it just says, you know, I'm just going by what the language of the statute would say. The Board of Curators of the University of the State of Missouri shall hereafter consist of nine members who shall be appointed by the governor by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, provided that at least one, but no more than two, shall be appointed upon said board from each congressional district, and no person shall be appointed a curator who shall not be a citizen of the United States, all of that. August 28th, this becomes law.
Correct.
Not knowing what the congressional districts, are we in violation of this law? Because it doesn't say effective 2012. It doesn't say effective, you know, 2014. It doesn't have any kind of grandfathering deal. And maybe the answer is we could deal with that through the Senate confirmation, but we've already confirmed the people that are there. They've already gone through that deal. They agreed to serve on a six-year basis.
Right.
I would hate, because of strangeness that either we do in the General Assembly in passing a bill or a court does, that some of these people that have already been confirmed and are serving could be forced to resign, and then the governor could reappoint a whole new crop of people.
I really don't think that would be a problem. Again, this deals with appointment of new curators,
But it doesn't. I mean, because that first paragraph says that once it becomes effective, no more than or 9 members, but at least one member from every congressional district. What happens if we draw a congressional district and no one lives in it? You know, that's on the board right now.
Right. Well, once a person is on, I mean, they've been confirmed by the Senate. They are.
I understand.
On the,
that's
on
but
the
but
board of curators.
They can't violate the law. Would they have to then resign because, you know, they aren't there? I mean, I don't know if there's a way in which, but since this is a House bill, I don't know if there's a way that we can say, notwithstanding the already, you know, all these people get to serve their terms out. I just don't know the answer. I'm just thinking out loud with you.
It hasn't been brought up in the process. So, I mean, right now is the first that I've heard this argument. My understanding, it wouldn't go into effect until those congressional districts were in effect, which would be when the new Congress people were sworn in. And
I understand, but what happens if we have a new drawn congressional district with no curator in it? Or what happens if we have a new drawn congressional district that has 3 people in it? Or what happens if we have 2 congressional districts that have 2 people in it? They are now in violation of this statute. And say, for instance, somebody I really, really like is in a congressional district with 2 people and I think are doing a good job, but the governor says, I want this person in this district to resign. I don't know that there's some kind of order to in dealing with that hypothetical, and I grant you it's a hypothetical.
Right.
Hopefully it doesn't happen, but as I stand here with you and talk, I don't know where all the current curators live. I don't know if the map the House has proposed puts 2 curators in a congressional district. I don't know if the Senate does. So I don't know if there's any kind of language that Senate research could help us come up with that basically says this is only on a going forward basis. So in the temporary time as we shift from 9 to 8, there may be a year or two, or maybe even 3 years, I don't know, where we may violate this statute. But it's on a going forward appointment only basis.
It would really only be
not a retroactive basis.
It would just be in this transitional period.
Correct.
When we're going.
But it could be a long transitional period because they're confirmed to 6-year terms.
Right.
Staggered 6-year terms.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Senate Research is putting together something like that. I think they are.
Okay. I would certainly be agreeable to that.
Okay.
I think anything that you could add to it that gives.
And I appreciate that.
That's fine. So.
With House bills, we kind of confirm or we perfect and third read all at the same time. So we're kind of here, and that's all I'm trying to get done. I don't know what the floor leader's pleasure is. You got a great tie on. I can talk to you about your tie. We can lay it over, get the amendment, come back, or stand at ease. I don't know where the floor leader is. How are your mules doing this year?
Baseball doing great.
Baseball?
Right. They're doing a lot better than Northwest Missouri State.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Much better.
Well, over 500 ball or?
Oh yeah, probably.
Do they still play T-ball at Central, or do you?
Not quite.
Not quite.
Not
okay.
Quite. Yeah,
are they throwing overhand now?
They do quite well.
Nice.
They end up in the quarterfinals.
I've got an amendment
that
I'm trying to get that just says this is ongoing.
I think
if we could lay this over, possibly get the amendment, go back. I think I just talked to the floor leader. I'm not trying to do it, but if we agree on that, is that a possibility?
That'd be great.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion?
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator from Johnson.
I would like to lay this bill over on the informal calendar.
The bill will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Photographers from the Missouri Digital News, KOMU, KOMU 8, have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. We're going to stay on that calendar.
House Bill 358, Senator from the 5th.
15th, Senator from the 15th.
House Bill 358, Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the House Bill 358 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
Heard the motion from the Senator from the 15th that House Bill 358 be taken up for third reading and final passage. All of those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 15th. Would you like to explain your bill?
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill 358 deals with the St. Louis police retirement system. Deals with the retirement system, and this is a technical change. I believe it was a consent bill in the House that just brings it into compliance with the IRS regulations and makes sure that the police retirees don't pay income tax on those benefits. It's a relatively simple bill, but if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 8th, are you seeking recognition? Hearing Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the tallest member of the Missouri Senate in the
Senator
the
from
Missouri
the 15th, do you yield to inquiry?
Not the Senator from Holt, the Senator from 15th. Senator, do you realize the Senator from Holt stood up? He thinks he's taller than you.
Oh, that, I laughed at that assertion, Senator.
All right. I appreciate you yielding. Thank you for the inquiry. I just noticed that no one else was going to inquire
yeah,
you,
thanks.
And
I
didn't easy. Want that to happen. Yeah. What bill are we on?
358.
358. Okay, this is the police retirement to bring it into compliance.
I think
totally got it.
Yeah.
Yep, you're good. Thank you. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 15th has moved that House Bill 358 be third read and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Bill 358, an act relating to police retirement. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from St. Francis. Votes aye. Senator from the 8th. Senator from the 5th. No. Senator from the 9th. Can't see that far. Votes aye. Senator from the 10th. Aye. Votes aye. Senator from Christian. Votes aye. Senator from Lawrence. Votes aye. Senator from Howell. Votes aye. Senator from the 24th, votes aye. By your vote of 31 ayes, 0 no, the bill, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the titling and perfecting motions be considered made and carried. House Bill 209, Senator from Nottoway.
Thank you, Madam President. Informal calendar? Formal calendar.
House bills on third reading, formal calendar, and it is House Bill number 209.
I believe. Madam President.
Senator.
I would ask that bill stay on the informal calendar, be placed on the informal calendar.
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Keep going. House Bill number 193, Senator from the second. No, no. Okay. Oh, I didn't realize that one was done. Senator from the 23rd.
Okay, wait, did we just call that bill up? Don't we have to put it on the informal calendar?
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 238.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 238. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Madam President. I now move that Senate Bill 238 be taken up before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 15th that Senate Bill 238 be brought before the body for perfection. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Madam President. I have a substitute.
Send your substitute forward.
It has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived.
I did ask that. No, I said the other one too. Okay. Yeah, Madam President, this Senate Bill 238, and I'll explain the difference between the Senate bill and the Senate substitute here briefly, but this would add in the presumptive language for firefighters the protection that if an infectious disease is contracted in the line of duty, that they would be protected and covered under their plan if they have a disability provision in their pension plan. Currently, it is not included. When firefighters and when our folks are running into buildings and running into dangerous situations, when we're running out, a lot of times there are not an opportunity for them to gauge the danger of the situation that's in their job description to help folks when they need to be extricated from a vehicle or to break into a situation where there might be blood involved, and this would allow them to be covered if in fact they contract an infectious disease. The difference between the Senate bill, Madam President, and the substitute that is before the body that I move for its adoption is that it requires a blood test with the physical examination yearly. In my conversations with the senator from Cape, thought that was a good protection to make sure that, in fact, the infectious disease contraction took place within the year after the last test, even though there is an investigation with this. So with that, Madam President, I'd answer any questions.
Senator from the 15th has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute to Senate Bill 238. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Saline, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I know that I just missed the most eloquent introduction ever, but unless you will damage your $400 tie, we can't hear you.
Okay.
And I'm an old,
well, I'm so
old
tall.
Guy.
I'm so sorry, sir. It's my fault sometimes.
Here. And so I don't know. I don't have a clue what you're talking about.
All right. Well, let me explain. Right now, under the if there's a disability provision in a firefighter's pension plan, okay, this would allow the contraction of an infectious disease that has taken that has taken place while in the line of duty, to be covered under their policy. Okay, so for example, if someone is in a terrible motor vehicle accident, EMT or firefighter comes to the scene, there's a severe loss of blood, the victim or the person needs to be extricated from the vehicle. If there's an open wound and an infectious disease is contracted by the firefighter, this would allow them that if they're unable to go back to work, to receive the benefits under their pension plan. There's a zero fiscal note. It would just give those the protections that they would if they got cancer from smoke inhalation or something like that.
Thanks, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Madam President, to inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator, do you yield to inquiry?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you very much for yielding. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator. I'm trying to look at your substitute here. I know you just turned it in. We actually did some look at other states. I think there's two other states that do this. North Dakota is one of them, and then Washington State is another one of them that we ended up looking at. So we'll be the third state to actually do this as it relates to infectious
diseases.
I think
there's 22 states, Senator.
Okay.
I think we'd be the my information is that we'd be the 23rd state.
Okay. All right. From that standpoint, but all right, who knows? All right. Then when we're actually looking at this, I think you're putting this in the same category that we've had for some of the others, so let me just kind of read through here.
I'm not following your footsteps today because you did the pension.
Well, I thought
you had done this before.
Actually, the senior senator from St. Charles did it. I just tried to make it better.
Okay.
So let's make sure we made yours better.
Okay.
Let's see. Notwithstanding the provisions of any law to the contrary, after 5 years' service, any condition of impairment of health caused by an infectious disease, disease of the lung or respiratory tract, hypertension, or disease of the heart, resulting in total or partial disability or death to a uniform member of a paid fire department who successfully passed a physical examination within 5 years prior to the time a claim is made for such disability or death, which examination failed to reveal any evidence of such condition, shall be presumed to have suffered in the line of duty unless the contrary be shown by competent evidence. And then in order to receive the presumption that an infectious disease was contracted in the line of duty, the member shall submit to an annual physical examination at which time a blood test is administered. And
that line is the operative
right.
Sentence that was in place
sure.
in the substitute.
And then we look at how you have defined, as used in this section, the term infectious disease means the human immune deficiency virus, that's AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, tuberculosis, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, hepatitis D, diphtheria, spinal meningitis, staph infection, hemorrhagic fever, the plague, rabies, and severe acute respiratory syndrome. Now, are you listing those as an exhaustive?
Yes.
Because, I mean, there are some other infectious diseases that I don't think in any way, shape, or form a firefighter should have received in the line of duty.
Yeah, they're spelled out specifically to be the infectious
okay.
disease that are covered.
And you realize that some of these hepatitises can be contracted through intercourse.
Yeah, and I think you still have to prove that in the line of duty that was contracted.
Okay.
So the way the course of this would work is an incident report would be filled out. There's still an investigation that takes place. And a determination made that it was in fact in the line of duty.
Well, I don't know where that is.
Where
is that in the bill that's what happened?
Well, under the same process, I think you worked with the senator from the second.
I definitely did with tobacco and cancer and all of that, but I understand the presumption, but my understanding is that this has happened in one case, and they actually proved it. I appreciate where you're at. I just want to walk through this to make sure I understand exactly how infectious disease will work, because this is in a different section than what we did the presumption that you developed lung cancer or something else from on the job. So we wrote that in a completely different section. We just didn't throw lung cancer in with all of these other disabilities. So as I read this, it says, notwithstanding the provisions of any law to the contrary, after 5 years service, any condition of impairment of health caused by an infectious disease, then lists all the others, who successfully passed a physical examination within 5 years prior to the time a claim is made for such disability or death, which examination failed to reveal any evidence of such condition. That's where it really is. If that examination failed to reveal any evidence of such condition, then you are presumed to have contracted this in the line of duty.
Right, and in order to establish, because of the conversation we had yesterday and mulling it over a little bit, because of the contagious nature of and the blood-borne diseases we're talking about, to have a more regularly established baseline of the blood work for a year is a better indication of either having
I understand.
It, you know what I'm saying, either having it or not having it.
I totally understand, but I think the way that this provision is written, I hear you and think it's tighter than where it needs to be, but that's just.
But it,
I mean,
know, right now, if let's just say, for example, Senator,
it's not going to really change.
Disease, let's say you had a
right.
You developed lung disease or heart disease.
It's every 5 years. I totally understand that.
Right, and so.
An infectious disease, it'll be a year, but you still get the presumption. All you have to do is have blood drawn every year.
Right, but there's still an investigation, as there would be with any of the other presumptive illnesses.
I don't think so. I don't see where there's an investigation here.
Yeah, in order to draw down, well, these are dealing with private, so this is out of the comp system. This is dealing with the private pension. So if you're unable to go back to work, okay, and you're trying to draw down those disability benefits, there's still going to be, as there would be, as you're probably more well aware than anybody, there still is that investigative stage.
Yeah,
here.
But this is a presumption.
Correct.
So you shift the burdens.
Yes.
You shift the burdens.
Right.
Completely. So So instead of proving that you get the disability, now you have to prove that you shouldn't get the disability.
Right. But if you know, practically speaking, if I'm a firefighter and I develop
so do they defend the fund?
What's that?
I mean, do they defend the fund? I mean, I'm just going to be. I mean, I just want to be candid with you. I mean, you can contract a lot of these infectious diseases through personal private behavior.
Well, sure, and you can get lung cancer by smoking.
And we very, I think, artfully addressed that in the way that we crafted the lung disease type deal that the senior senator from St. Charles did. I just don't know that, you know, Pamela Anderson contracted hepatitis from fighting fire or being a first responder. I'm just saying, do we really? I mean, I'm just saying,
look,
as it comes out over all of this.
I don't know why we would not afford the same protection to an individual that is going into that situation, okay, where someone is bleeding, their life is in danger, they don't have time, okay, to put on the spacesuit like Marty McFly did in Back to the Future, okay, and pull the victim out.
That was a radiation suit. It wasn't a space suit.
The Libyans. It's back to the future.
Yeah, it's back to the future again.
It was the Libyans.
Yeah. And how fast did you have to go in order to trigger?
88 miles.
88. And how many gigawatts?
1.21 gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts.
Right. Yeah. I know. We're showing our cultural similarities.
Exactly. All right. I don't mean to belabor this or anything else.
I don't know a better way to deal.
I understand.
To deal with this, other than to say that we're tightening the time frame. I mean, I got to get a blood test every year.
I understand, but the blood test is not going to shift the presumption. So it'll help through early detection instead of waiting. It'll you'll detect this condition earlier by having the annual blood test done, but it's not going to,
right.
And then if you skip, I guess, you don't get it. So
right.
In order to get it, you're going to have to at least get early detection.
Yeah, this is a requirement they don't have right now.
Right.
In order to receive the benefit, we're requiring them to submit to something they don't have to submit now. And practically
right.
speaking, if they've had an incident within that year time frame where blood was
spotted. Well, I mean, I get it. I mean, my little brother, he worked at a hospital, and he was in the hazardous waste disposal of the hospital. I mean, he had to get tested every 3 months because
yeah.
he would remove needles and stuff and get stuck. It's a tough job, don't get me wrong.
Right.
And luckily he never contracted anything in the line of duty that's there. So I hear you. Right. I just, you know, I appreciate the inquiry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate substitute? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close on the adoption of the Senate substitute.
I close.
Senator from the 15th has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute, Senate Bill 238. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate substitute is adopted. Now we're back on the motion of the Senator from the 15th that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 238 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from the 15th renews his motion that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 238 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many as of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Photographers from ABC 17 have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. Without objection, Senate will go back to the order of business. We'll go back to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the informal calendar, House Bill 174.
House bills for third reading, informal calendar, House Bill number 174. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that House Bill 174. Be taken off the informal calendar brought up for consideration.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Madam President. I move now that House Bill 174 be taken up for third reading and final passage. This is the bill that we were talking about just about 10 minutes ago on the makeup of the University of Missouri Board of Curators and what happens in the inevitability of having one less congressional district. The Senator from Cape and I were talking, and he wanted to bring forth an amendment. We have that amendment ready to go.
The Senator from Johnson has moved that House Committee substitute for House Bill 174 be third read and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard upon that pending motion? Senator from Cape, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. I have an amendment. It has been distributed. I would request a waiver of the reading. I am sending it forward. I move for the adoption. I move to suspend the Constitution and pass all my bills that have not passed through this one.
Senator, let's take one thing at a time. Send your amendment forward. The amendment having been distributed, unless there is objection, the reading will be waived.
Where did he go with it?
He's up there.
Oh,
he's just missing.
Okay.
Misunderstood. It's
okay.
Up there.
I got it. Thank
Senator,
you, Madam President. I move for the adoption of the amendment. Basically, Madam President, this amendment says, notwithstanding any provision of the law to the contrary, nothing in this section relating to a change in the composition and configuration of congressional districts in this state shall prohibit a member who is serving a term on August 28, 2011, from completing his or her term. So basically, we're not going to use congressional redistricting to remove or change around will basically bleed through current board structures, and then we'll go under the new configurations of where the law is. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Senator from Cape has moved for the adoption of Senate Bill or Senate Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 174. Does any senator desire to be heard on the amendment? Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I very briefly inquire of the senator from Cape?
Senator from Cape, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, your date, August 28, 2011, that just refers to when the bill becomes law.
Correct. I don't think there's an emergency clause on his bill. That's why we used August 28, 2011.
And do we have any read on how many vacancies there are?
I saw a press report where I think there's 3.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
So just walk through this real briefly with me.
Okay.
Your amendment goes on. This becomes law August 28th. We may not have the congressional maps, but the worst that happens is they would wait until January to appoint somebody. If there was a vacancy, they would then be able to, in theory, they'd have to wait for the congressional election, would they not? Or do they wait for the new district? I'm not trying to be overly complicated, but the district per se might exist. The new district might exist.
You know, I
but
asked
they
that.
Would, I mean, what I'm trying to is, yeah. Is the trigger the new district, or is the trigger the election in November of 2012?
I think that the trigger is filing. To tell you the truth, I asked that specific question, and what my understanding is, although there is no time limit on us to when we draw new congressional districts, and when I say us,
right.
I mean either the General Assembly or the courts. My understanding and the research that I have done is that the courts have put a timeline that districts are drawn before filing. So whenever filing would be for the 2012 elections, the maps have to be in place.
Okay. And so do we know yet, is the actual trigger the November election in 12 or the filing when the districts are done and certified?
I think it would be the filing of when the districts.
Okay.
Once you know the lay of the land, the bill that the senator from Johnson is putting forward will already be law. So once those districts, whether they're drawn by us or drawn by the courts, whenever those are in place and we know where the boundaries are, you will then have to follow, starting August 28th of this year, the law that the senator from Johnson is putting on the books.
Okay.
So even though there's not technically a congressman or woman elected in that district, they still exist for purposes
right.
of the senator
from Johnson.
I just wanted
to make
Johnson
sure as we were dealing with this schedule of the next year, if we had vacancies, I guess what I'm saying is if you're a governor, I mean, and you're making an appointment and then the Senate has to confirm that, it's probably with this amendment better to wait for the new districts is what I'm
saying. I totally agree with this amendment, because what can happen, the governor can always make recess appointments. As you well know, you got 30 days in which to confirm in the Senate. If the Senate believes that someone is packing or doing something that we can forever bar that person from actually serving out the remainder of a term. Plus, a recess appointment without the Senate confirmation is not really a term appointment.
Right, it's
you don't
only
get
good
that
until
term appointment. So then it would really be on us, and we would be violating the law if we confirm somebody appointed on a recess basis that didn't comply with the senator from Johnson's.
Thank you for clarifying. I wasn't
right.
trying to hold up anything.
Yeah,
I
think you raised a good point.
I wasn't clear when the trigger was. So
yeah,
thank you.
As I understand it, the districts have to be drawn by filing.
And then, therefore, they are the that is the
they
district.
Are the districts.
The
so
election
the last
itself,
date.
The election doesn't have to take place.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Correct.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending amendment? Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Madam President. Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
It's a good amendment, and it deals not only with the University of Missouri, but with Missouri State University and also the Coordinating Board for Higher Education. I think it gives clarification during that transition period. So, good amendment. I support it.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending amendment? Hearing none, Senator from Cape, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Cape, has renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 be adopted. As many of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. Does any other senator desire to be heard on House Bill 174? Hearing none. Senator from Johnson, you recognize to close.
I close.
The senator from Johnson has renewed his motion that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 174 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 174, an act relating to higher education governing boards. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevenie, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Lawrence votes aye. Senator from St. Francis votes aye. Senator from the Ninth votes aye. Senator from Green votes aye. By your vote of 33 aye, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar. Senate Bill 360, Senator from Nottoway.
Thank you, Madam President. I move Senate Bill 360 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Nottoway. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Nottoway.
Thank you, Madam President. I have a Senate substitute that I believe is being distributed, or maybe has even been distributed. I am going to send it forward here. Once it's signed, I would request the waiver of the reading.
Send your amendment, or I'm sorry, send your substitute forward. And Senator, did you say that the Senate substitute had been distributed?
That's my understanding.
Yes, that is confirmed.
It has been distributed, therefore I would request a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Thank you. I move for the adoption of the Senate substitute. What the Senate substitute does, Madam President, it removes two provisions. One, the provision that would allow authority, that would allow the Lake Authority to have the authority to exercise eminent domain powers. It removes that provision, as well as removes the provision that would allow the Lake Authority the ability to establish a police force. What this is in Sullivan County, they are in the process of creating a Lake Authority to build a drinking water lake. So it's a lake that will house a couple thousand acres. It will be able to process approximately 7 million gallons of water per day that will serve a 10-county area. Right now, as you can imagine, water is a challenge in this region. In fact, if I remember correctly, they only have the current water supply is only a few hundred acres and produces, or actually handles less than 700,000 gallons per day. They have moved forward in the most recent election. The individuals, the county, voted a half-cent sales tax to fund the majority of this with an 81% margin. That's 81% supporting the tax. And what this does is this creates the structure by which they can create the Lake Authority. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer them. And otherwise, I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate substitute.
The senator from Nottoway has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute, Senate Bill 360. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 11th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I briefly inquire of the senator from Nottoway?
Senator from Nottoway, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I just had a question on the Senate substitute.
Sure.
The difference between that and the Senate Bill 360, the only two changes are the previous bill had the authority to exercise powers of eminent domain.
Right.
And
we removed that.
And then it
said in there that they would have the ability to establish a police force, and we removed that as an agreement was reached with the sheriff's department that they are going to perform that function.
Do they currently have?
No.
Is it provided by the sheriff's department?
Yes. Yes is the answer. Right now, it's all private property. What is essentially happening here is the Lake Authority took a proactive approach, and what they're doing is they actually set forward a very detailed plan of how they're going to implement this, as well as going as far as saying, you know, certain distances from the water they will manage to ensure that, you know, there aren't chemical applications to land that then get into the water. Because this is a drinking water facility, it is important that they have that ability. And so they came up with this process in conjunction with the Department of Natural Resources. As we've been working through the process, Farm Bureau raised the concern about the eminent domain component, and then the Sheriff's Association inquired about the police component, and once we inquired back to the Lake Authority, they informed us that they've already reached the agreement with the Sheriff's Department.
Is this, Senator, like that in current law that they don't want to form a township or a city because maybe they don't fit that category? I mean, what is this unincorporated now?
Right. This
within
is just
a county?
This is just rural country land right now.
Are there any inhabitants? I mean, how many inhabitants are
there? There are several. I mean, there's probably close to 100 landowners.
Okay, so
that
it's
are
not
impacted.
Just one or two landowners.
No. This is a big deal, and they're actually going through that process right now. I mean, this process has been going on for almost 5 years.
And the Lake Authority would give them the ability to tax themselves to an extent?
That's correct.
Okay. To provide for certain services, but you've exempted police force.
Right.
So they would...
What the Lake Authority would give them is the ability to manage the water facility. So it's not just the county. It's multiple counties. It's multiple water districts. It's multiple, for lack of a better term, political subdivisions that all together make up the Lake Authority.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the Senate substitute? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the sponsor of the substitute.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Yes, sir.
Page 7.
Page 7 of the Senate substitute. I'm there.
First off, line 20. The state or any political subdivision or municipal corporation thereof may, in its discretion, with or without consideration, transfer or cause to be transferred to the authority or place in its possession or control by deed, lease, or other contract agreement, either for a limited period of or in a fee, any property wherever situated. That's pretty wide. What does that do?
I'm not 100% sure the provision. Let's see here. The state or political subdivision or municipal.
I don't know if this even deals with your issue.
Yeah. Well,
I'm afraid it might deal with a water company in several of these other senators' districts
that
nobody has come talk to us about.
That's definitely not my intent. I assume that was put in there for a reason.
Well, then you look at the next line.
Yeah, that's why.
The state or any political subdivision may appropriate, allocate, or expend such funds of the state or political subdivision for the benefit of the authority as are reasonable and necessary to carry out the provisions.
Yeah, that I believe is because you have, like, yeah, there are times when conservation, you know, works in conjunction with lake authorities. I know, like, in Maryville, they've worked with them on some of the fishing docks, and they've worked with them on a boat ramp and some stuff like that. There's also, I think that was also the provision that allowed the Department of Natural Resources, if federal funding was to occur, that would provide the avenue for that to happen, if I remember correctly. But that's number three. Back to your number two, I don't remember the discussion, Senator, around that particular section. And so it's not my intent,
okay,
to impact what you're discussing.
Well, it seems like we need to find some questions out before we move further, but
which
instead of before you lay it over, we go through a few other things that you can inquire about. Subsection 15, line 18, adopt tax increment financing within.
Where are you at, Senator? What page?
I'm on the same page, page 7. Line 18.
Yep.
Adopt tax increment financing within its boundaries in the same manner as provided under section 67.790.
Right.
So we're now going to be using tax increment financing for the development of water systems.
Well, no, not water systems. Just the water, the lake, basically the water facility. Basically, here's the deal, Senator. There's a 10-county region up there where they have some very significant water problems. And clearly, in their perfect world, they'd like to have either the federal government or state government fund it. And I was very clear that my belief is...
Your constituents want more government?
They want the money of the government, not more government, just the money of the government.
Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They'll take all the money in the world.
We'll take the money, just stay out of our
business. Yeah, and you know, they like to talk about the Clarence Cannon proposal and how they funded that one up there. The reality is that, as you know, we have no money. The federal government has no money. The chance of this thing being funded through federal earmarks is more difficult every day. So what they were trying to do is create this lake authority that encompasses the land of which we're talking about in a proactive approach with the Department of Natural Resources, and then have the tools at their disposal so that the locals, if the local taxing jurisdictions decide they want to forego some of the local, if they want to forego local revenue, they can.
Who came together to write this legislation?
It's been a joint partnership between the folks in Sullivan County, so like the commissioners, the folks in Milan, the city there, as well as the counties that actually surround it
. Who did they work with? Did they work with DNR or someone from the federal government?
Both. They've worked with DNR to write this language.
Okay.
But they hired, you know, a third party, I could call them a consultant or a legal firm or what you want to call them, what name you want to give that group that has helped usher through this process.
One more question before you lay it over to see the answer. On page 3, line 18, this is more out of curiosity than anything else. A county drinking water supply lake authority shall consist of at least 6,
right,
but not more than 30 members.
Yep.
30?
Well, it's because they don't know how many counties and or political subdivisions, i.e. cities within those counties, will actually want to join the authority.
I've been on boards with 30 people.
Yep.
Nothing gets accomplished.
I'm not debating that, Senator.
He's going to give you a note right now.
I'm not sure what he's... Let's see here. Lake authority powers, funds, et cetera, et cetera. The provision that you were asking about, Senator...
Page 7, line 20.
...is already existing law.
Who says that? Because so many times I get on this floor and people, and you, I'm not telling you anything. You
research, get, research.
You tell us that's already existing law.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this question and research can listen to it. Does this benefit other water companies?
Jim just walked out. I don't, well, let's wait and see what the infamous Jim Ertl has to say to your question. And your question was, Senator?
This, well, it's always told to us this is current and existing law. Well, if it's right. Current and existing law, why does it have a line underlined in the bill? Let's read it again. The state or any political subdivision or municipal corporation thereof may, in its discretion, with or without consideration, transfer or cause to be transferred to the authority, or may place in its possession or control by deed or lease or other contract or agreement, either for a limited period or in a fee, any property wherever situated. I'm sorry.
Do you want Madam President.
Senator from Nottoway.
I'd request unanimous consent for the Senate to momentarily stand at ease.
Senators requested unanimous consent for the Senate to stand at ease. Hearing no objection, Senate will stand at ease. Ready? The Senate will come to order. The Senator from the 13th has the floor.
I just want to prepare before I give up the floor that this year I am prepared to serve at this seat when that sun comes through here. And I recommend to all my colleagues that surround me that they be prepared as well.
Thank you, Madam President, for allowing me to inquire the Senator from Andrew.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion for adoption of the Senate substitute? Hearing none. Senator, you are recognized to close on the adoption of the Senate substitute.
I close.
Senator from Nottoway has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 360. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. The Senate substitute is adopted. Now we're back on the underlying motion of the senator from Nottoway that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 360 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none. Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Nottoway has renewed his motion that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 360 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. over on the formal calendar. Which one is it? I'm lost. The formal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. That objection, Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 209.
House Bill 209.
House bills for third reading, informal calendar, House Bill 209, Senator from Nottoway.
I would move that House Bill 209 be brought before the body to be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Nottoway that House Bill 209 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, Senator from Nottoway.
Thank you, Madam President. It looks like there is a Senate substitute that I will sign and send forward. I believe it has been distributed. I would request a waiver of the reading.
Senator, you will need to move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute first.
I move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. I now have a Senate substitute.
Send your substitute forward.
That I will send forward. It is being sent forward. I would again request a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you like to explain your Senate substitute?
Yes, the Senate substitute is, this is a similar legislation to Senate Bill 187 that we passed out of here earlier this year. There have been a couple adjustments. The only thing that I'm aware of is that I know there's been consultation in conjunction with the second floor on some changes they had requested to make them more comfortable. And so the Senate substitute, if I remember correctly, makes the changes that the second floor requested, which essentially specifies this section does not authorize a county to enact a nuisance abatement ordinances that provide for the abatement of any condition relating to agricultural structures. That actually addresses the legislation that the senator from Buchanan put on there. We prohibit counties from adopting any ordinance or regulation governing any railroad company. That's the legislation, again, dealing with, I believe the senator from the 13th had inquired to the senator from Buchanan about that on an earlier bill that I believe we now have that resolved or has been worked out. That was put in here to match that dialogue. Allows the claimant to recover damages for a medical condition where the nuisance is shown by objective and documented medical evidence to have caused the medical condition. We want to make sure that we are not stopping anyone from having the ability to recover that. And then this requires that a nuisance be considered not applicable of abatement if a defendant demonstrates a good faith effort to abate the nuisance, including substantial compliance with a court order, et cetera. And then I think modifies the language of the exemption for damages recovered for crop discussion, crop damage, et cetera. That is a situation that came up that we needed to address with some, to be very, if I remember correctly, the rice farmers in southeast Missouri. There was some issue where occasionally there is overspray whenever they're spraying down there, and that potentially could be detrimental to the adjoining neighbor's rice farm. And so they wanted to make sure they had the ability to still recover under that. And so that provision was put in to make sure that occurred. And then the final one removes the word and judgment from the last line of subsection 8 of section 537, which would have been a request from the second floor as well. If there are questions, I'm happy to answer them and work through them. With that, Madam President, I renew my motion.
The senator from Nottoway has move for the adoption of Senate substitute for House Bill 209. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? The first senator I saw was Senator from the 13th. For what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire?
To inquire of the senator from Nottoway.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to re-inquire and let these two senators inquire of you first, because I stepped out.
Yep.
I came in. The substitute just got put on the desk. I haven't read it.
No
problem. Don't want to delay it, but want to go through it real quick.
Yep, and the point that I want to make sure that you reference, that I want to reference, is the Senate, I believe it was Senate Bill 35 or 25.
25 I had issues with.
That the senator from Buchanan had put on, and there was questions about the railroad component.
Yep.
That same language.
Is that what
in
somebody
here
was just talking to me outside?
I don't know. I just wanted to make sure that you were aware.
Okay.
That was on here.
I'm going to inquire of you again.
No, but I will not close until we have another opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President, to inquire.
Senator from Nottoway, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
You bet.
You know, every week I have a legislative forum back home, and last week, some of my constituents who would have been affected had that one CAFO occurred in Andrew County came, and they made some points that I thought I'd just bring up and discuss with you for just a minute.
Sure.
They were saying that they'd feel much better about this if the the fair market value were calculated more like the fair market value is when the state,
when there's
condemns your property.
Condemnation, yeah.
And something like with some fair market value, not fair market value, but heritage value. And I think that in that process, you can get up to like 125%.
We actually talked about that. And we actually, I just kind of, for your information, some of the discussion that's occurred as we have worked through that process has been two things. One, the reason that we did not move it is typically under condemnation. Once they're paid for the land, it's no longer theirs. The
right
state or whoever takes it. And so there was a great reluctance to actually, I'm not comfortable, with one private party taking another private party's land. And so that was the trade-off. For not taking the land, we limit to 100% of fair market value versus if you allow them to go more than 100, if you follow that same logic of you want to stay within the way condemnation works under eminent domain, you actually take the property after you pay the higher rate.
They were making the point that if the land is truly not usable, that it's in essence a taking, because who's going to buy it from you,
And that's,
but thinking about it, your bill, it defines the fair market value as what somebody would pay, So
theoretically,
if they would pay zero, you'd get exactly the whole thing. But if it were worth zero, there wouldn't be any heritage value. I mean, the value of the land would be valueless.
That's a good point.
And so it just seems to me like it ought to probably be there for those cases. The 125% would make a lot of people feel a lot better, and that heritage value. And I just wondered if you might be open to some amendment like that.
I prefer not to, and the reason why is because as we've had those discussions with the ag groups and the different interested parties, we always came back to that argument of, if you pay more than the property's worth under the eminent domain process, you end up literally taking the property. And I was not comfortable going to that point. And I understand the point that you're referencing, but I just don't think that I want to go to that point where we're actually taking the property. And I think that 100% of fair market value is legitimate.
So then just imagine then that I'm the person whose property it is, and say some CAFO moves in and makes it so stinky on my property that I literally have to leave it, and then I can't find anybody to buy the property. I mean, nobody would want it, and so the value goes from...
That's never the case, Senator. There's never a time when someone wants to sell property that someone won't buy it. And in fact, in many cases of around these facilities, people want that land because as they use the resources, the nutrients to fertilize it, the production of the land that you fertilize that with becomes very prosperous. I mean, they have great yields.
So
you'll always find somebody who will farm it, is my point.
So you're saying that my premise is flawed.
Only the understanding, only the argument that no one will ever want to buy it.
Okay, well, is it ever possible that the fair market value could be zero?
I can't imagine.
Well, that's the premise of their argument. And so just assuming for the moment that that could happen, if it did happen, then let's say you're the company that I'm suing.
Sure.
You'd pay me the full market value and I'd have the property, but I wouldn't have the heritage value. I wouldn't. And I think I might feel somewhat cheated in a case like that.
Right.
So I don't know.
Senator, I've gone through the same. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this back in February. I've gone through with both the ag groups and the advocate, you know, both sides as we've worked through this, and we finally got to this point where everybody just said, listen, we'll settle on 100%. We make sure we address the problem in Southeast Missouri.
I'm not going to hang up your bill.
No, I know.
But, you know, the bottom line is I can go back and say that, you know, that you wouldn't really be willing to put something like that in there.
You know, right now I have a very fluid but stable agreement, and I'm trying to keep it that way the best I can.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Madam President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard, Senator, from the 10th? For what purpose do you seek recognition?
Madam President, I'd like to raise point of order.
State your point of order.
Thank you, Madam President. My point of order is that subsection 6 to section 67.402 takes the bill beyond the original scope of, or the scope of the original bill, and it makes the bill contain multiple subjects.
Point of order has been raised and will be referred to the pro tem. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from the 10th.
Madam President, I'd like to withdraw my point of order and lodge a new point of order. Raise a new
restate
point of order.
Your new point of order.
I want to restate my point of order. My point of order is on the floor sub itself, saying that the floor sub is out of order because the amendment that was added to it as part of the sub goes beyond the scope of the original bill, in that the original bill deals with nuisances and not railroads.
Your point of order will be referred to the President pro tem. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from Nottoway, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Is it in order to inquire the senator? It is not, because we're pending the point of order.
You may speak on the point of order, but it is not something subject to
inquiry. Madam President, I ask you to send the sub back.
The substitute will be sent back.
President.
Senator from Nottoway.
May I inquire the senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
All right, Senator. I was talking to the senator from Stoddard, and so I missed the point of order. The point of order was on the sub because that section was added to it.
Yes.
Got it.
Madam President.
Senator from Nottoway.
I ask you to put the bill on the informal calendar.
The bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. We'll go back to the Senate Bills for Perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate Bills for Perfection, formal calendar. Senate Bill 337. Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 337. Is a
Senator, would you like
to ask that Senate Bill 337
be brought before the body?
I certainly would. I wish that it be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Lewis that Senate Bill 337 be taken up for perfection. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Lewis.
Yes. Thank you, Madam President. I move the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute to Senate Committee Amendment or Substitute for Number 337, Senate Bill 337. I move the substitute.
The Senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 337. Senator, would you like to explain your Senate Committee Substitute?
Yes. Thank you, Madam President. What this bill does is bring consistency to the rules governing the control of noxious weeds in the state of Missouri, which the Department of Agriculture has control over. The noxious weed law was started in 1909 and has been added to in different sections throughout the statutes. And this just clarifies, puts them under the Department of Agriculture, requires the Department of Agriculture to maintain a list of all the noxious weeds. It expands the county commissioner's authority from just thistle to all noxious weeds, clarifies the sale of noxious weed species be prohibited, and the director currently has ability through the rules to designate weeds as noxious bills, as noxious. This bill just places that language in a better section to clarify the purposes, and no opposition was expressed in committee. It would have, I think, gone out of committee very much as a consent bill. In this substitute, it also says it was part of our Reboot Missouri, and that has to deal with the printing of the brand book. Says they don't have to print it. It can be available online. Would save the department some money. And with that, Madam President, I move for the adoption.
The Senator from Lewis has moved that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 337 be ordered perfected. Senator from St. Francis, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I'd like to inquire of the obnoxious bill.
Of the bill sponsor?
Sponsor.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
He
yields. This is the first of, this isn't the first obnoxious bill, Senator, I've heard filed here, but...
Leave it to me. Huh?
I just want to see if this obnoxious bill, I heard you talk about obnoxious weeds and obnoxious things, and I just think it's obnoxious.
We have a little order in the Missouri Senate, please, so we can hear the debate. Thank you very much. Senator from St. Francis, proceed.
Is this an obnoxious bill got anything to do with elk?
I don't believe so.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire.
Of the sponsor?
Of the sponsor of the bill, yes.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Very briefly, I noticed this bill has a non-severability clause, and I was just curious why.
That's the way it was... What page are you looking at?
On the very first page of the Act.
Oh, okay. That's what the rulemaking.
this section and section 536 are non-severable, and if any of the powers vested in the general superintendent to review the lines 13 to 15 and on to the next page. Mm-hmm. I guess if we're gonna control noxious weeds, if one part is found to be thrown out, do we want to throw the whole thing out?
Well, if it would, I hope. I'm trying to look back in the original language that we're actually deleting. I guess it would be that way if it was thrown out.
Yeah, and is that really what we want to do?
It's pretty standard language in a lot of bills that is a non-severability clause.
And you're comfortable with that?
I am. I think the department has looked it over, and they are satisfied with it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, research put it in there.
Okay, thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
I want to inquire the senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, the fiscal note says it's going to cost general revenue over $100,000. You spend money quicker than my wife.
For which fiscal note, Senator?
The one in my file.
On Senate Bill 337?
On Senate Bill 337, estimated total net effect on all funds expected to exceed 100, or net effect on general revenue expected to exceed 100,000. No,
which,
it's a positive.
Which page?
It's the one I was looking at was not that one. If you go to the second page of the fiscal note.
Gentlemen, that's total. On every fiscal note. It's not checked.
Senator from Lewis,
yes,
will observe
Senator.
The decorum of the Senate. There are only senators in the Senate. No gentlemen.
Senator, I'm going to sit down and let this proceed, but once again, it has something separate, and we might be looking at something. It does not appear it's that controversial of a bill that would cost if you are eliminating publishing of books. But I go by what I read, but I will let you continue on this one.
Those boxes are on all fiscal notes. Those aren't checked on this one. It's zeros. Of course, it's unknown.
There's unknowns, too. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Does
thank
any
you.
Other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion from the senator from Lewis? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close on adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
Madam President, I renew my motion.
Senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 337. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate committee substitute. We're now back on the motion of the senator from Lewis that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 337 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, the senator is recognized to close.
Madam President, I now move that Senate Bill number 337 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You're requesting that Senate Bill 337 be ordered declared, as amended by the Senate committee substitute, be declared ordered, perfected, and printed. Correct, Senator? The senator from Lewis has moved that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 337 be declared ordered and printed. As many of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Senate Bill 300. Senate Bill 300, Senator from Lewis.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate Bill number 300 be taken up for perfection.
Heard the motion from the Senator from Lewis that Senate Bill 300 be brought before the body for perfection. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body. Senator from Lewis.
I now move for the Senate committee substitute to Senate Bill 300. I move the substitute for Senate Bill 300. Senate committee substitute be adopted.
Senator from Lewis has moved that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 300 be taken up for perfection and adopted. Senator, would you like to explain your Senate committee substitute?
Pardon?
Would you like to explain your Senate committee substitute, Senator?
Yes, I would.
Please, proceed.
This is four-line bill that says that the use of centerfire handguns of a barrel of any length shall be allowed to be used during the muzzle-loading portion of the firearms deer season in Missouri.
Senator from Lewis has moved for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 300. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Lewis.
Senator, do you yield for inquiry?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
We're discussing it over here. What do they want to do, a draw session with the deer during hunting season?
A what session?
Draw. You know, where you take 10 paces and turn around and shoot the gun at each other?
Actually, Senator, I got my 10th deer with a handgun this year.
You killed a deer with a handgun?
My 10th one. Use a bigger gun.
All right. I guess you want to do draw contest with deer now. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Hearing none. Senator, you're recognized to close on adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
I close.
Senator from Lewis has moved that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 300 be adopted. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Now we're back on the motion of the senator from Lewis. The Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 300 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition? Senator, are you seeking to inquire?
To inquire the senator from Lewis.
Senator from Lewis, do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Did anybody get to get any bills out of your committee besides yourself?
You know, I've got some that came to me and said they didn't really have agriculture in their district, but I guarantee they all like to eat, and I'd be glad to have any of them present bills before my committee. But yes, there was some.
I was just curious if you were the only person getting bills out of your committee.
Well, you know,
you might be going for the record as a freshman senator passing the most bills.
I think the gentleman from the 20th has probably got me beat.
Come on.
Senator,
there are no gentlemen in the Senate.
He's not here either.
Please observe the decorum of the Senate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Madam President. Could I inquire the senator from the 23rd?
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield for inquiry?
Yes.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. You know, I've noticed of late that we've been passing a lot of bills in the body today and the last couple of days. Would you like me to slow that down any?
No.
No? So you're happy?
Well,
okay. I was going to offer my services.
Well, I appreciate it. I was sensitive to the fact that the senator from Stoddard has had a very, narrow scope and points of order. So I thought, you know, we've got people who've invested a lot of time in this building over 5 months, so I wanted to do everything I could to move as many of their priorities as possible.
Okay, so great.
Those narrow rulings do allow us to take up a larger number of bills instead of taking up one bill and adding everything. So I'm certainly, that's not a criticism of the senator from Stoddard in any way.
I haven't looked at the calendar. Any of my bills coming up?
I think yours are all dead.
Are they? Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Seeing none, Senator from Lewis, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from Lewis renews his motion that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 300 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Madam President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 120.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 120. Senator from Saline.
Madam President, I move that Senate Bill 120 be brought before the body for perfection.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Saline. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Bill is before the body. Senator from Saline.
Madam President, I have a Senate floor substitute.
Send your floor substitute forward.
I move for the adoption of the substitute.
Senator, has your substitute
been
distributed?
It has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain your floor substitute?
The substitute took out several words that were objected to by the Municipal League, and this is a billboard bill, and removed the language that said that local zoning authorities, I guess I probably need to be able to read this. Yeah. It removes the language which would have required local zoning authorities to reimburse the commission the cost of to condemn signs if they choose to prohibit resetting. This bill we've negotiated with it in the last 5 years that I've been chair of this committee, and I think that we have tried to answer all questions. Every time we close an item, another item comes up, but be glad to answer any questions. Madam President, could I inquire the senator from St. Francis?
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields. Proceed.
Senator, I just want to establish a background here. I came to you early and said, you know, this is something that I would like to get solved. And as a mayor, you're very well aware of the billboard issues throughout the state. And I asked you to go to the Municipal League and try to bring this to conclusion. I'm just wondering what you found.
Well, we made several offers to try to bring this forward because it's a situation that needs to be resolved. And I've negotiated several things over the years. So we tried to come up with a middle ground, and the senator, I forget where he's from. Helped me, Farmer Christian, the farmer mayor, and senator from used to be the mayor of Joplin, worked with this, and we tried to make something happen that was reasonable. And they said they'd study it, and they said that their representatives said that they thought it was fair, and then they took it back to some of their members, and they said absolutely not. I've always been pretty neutral and on the municipality side. On this, I don't think they've negotiated in good faith, and I'm willing to move on. We need to move this situation forward, and they think as long as they can get somebody to stand up and stall it, that they'll be able to kill it and not negotiate, and I think the time has come to go ahead and get it done.
Just for the record, I've been open to negotiation. The industry's been open to negotiation and had tried to satisfy everything that was brought up.
Right. Is your final version, was that your last offer, or did you revert back to?
No, what we did was take the last offer that they accepted.
So you went ahead and?
We went ahead and took everything they had brought up as a concern, We satisfied. We gave on every issue that they asked for.
Well, last time I met with them, I told them I'd recommend you go back to the original offer, because after they agreed upon it and then backed out, I you know, when you negotiate with somebody and then they don't do it, then you go back with your other offer. But well, I think you've been more than fair to go to the point where we've came to a reasonable agreement.
And
somebody that's represented the city, and I think it's a reasonable agreement, and I think anything further than that is just not cooperating at all, and it's just trying to be obstructionist, and I would recommend the body pass this and go.
Let me make this very clear that at the end of the discussion, their representative, Richard Sheets, said that we've satisfied all the issues, and then they came back later with an issue that has not been discussed in the last 5 or 6 years.
Well,
the last 5 years
I've negotiated quite a few things over the last few years, and I've never seen the ball moved quite as rapidly, and the goal line keep changing and things. And I know that they have people they have to answer to, and when they went to get answers, they wouldn't do it. So I'm with you, and I'm as representative of municipality, I'm going to be with you on this.
Madam President, could I inquire of the senator? Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Saline.
Could I inquire of the senator from Christian?
Senator from Christian is not in the chamber. Sergeant Arms, could you retrieve the senator from Christian? Senator from Christian, the senator from Saline desires to inquire of you. Do you yield?
I do.
He yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the inquiry. I just wanted to establish the fact that we talked early in the session, and that I told you that you know, we've been negotiating on this, and I have come to an agreement every year, and once we get the agreement, the gold moves. And you were involved in this, and I would wonder if you would mind explaining your involvement to the body tell me what your thoughts are.
Sure, Senator. I went to the other side, I guess we could say, and discussed with them that you were willing to, as I understood, basically give up the, if they wanted to move a sign and couldn't find a location for it, that we'd pay for it, which at the time seemed to be the big problem. After about 2 weeks, I think, waiting to hear something back from them, they came back and said, well, they still weren't sure what it did to their laws on whether they could actually have billboard laws or not, whether they could outlaw them or not. And to me, in our original talk, that wasn't really part of it. But I thought the money end of it, quite honestly, was kind of the key issue, and I thought you solved that.
Well, and wouldn't you agree that the industry has given on every point, with the exception of being able to outlaw? We allow for more strict restrictions.
Yep.
They can. The only thing that we have not given on, and this came up after we already had an agreement on everything. We've taken the certain words out they didn't like. We did everything we could, and we came to this point, and the last thing was, after negotiations were done, then they wanted to be able to outlaw billboards. And that's the only thing that we haven't given on.
That's the way it seemed to me, exactly. It just was not something that I thought was that high on of an issue to begin with. And then once we solved the others that were, it seemed to be the number one issue, that they want the right to outlaw the signs.
Thank you, Senator. I really appreciate the work you've put in on this.
Well, we tried. I thought it was something we could find middle ground on, and quite honestly, Senator, I thought we had.
Well, I can tell you that for the last 5 years, I've been there too. And we have done everything we could over the last 5 years. And I think it's time for this body to move this on, and then we'll go from there. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. Madam President?
Senator from Saline.
Could I inquire the Senator from Newton?
Senator from Newton does not appear to be in the chamber. The Sergeant at Arms. Please retrieve the senator from Newton. Bring him forth to the chamber. Senator yields. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your time. I just want to point out, you're on the Transportation Committee. When I brought this bill up, I went to you and to the senator from the from St. Francis and the senator from Christian as mayors and asked you that if you would work on this, and I was just kind of wondering if you could relate to the body what your experience was.
I don't know. You've done a pretty good job of solving the problems. I support your bill. Municipal League, I think you've correctly framed the picture that it's been a moving item since you started. I support your bill. I recommend everybody else to support it.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time and the work that you put in on this. Madam President, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
The senator from Saline has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 120. Does any senator desire to be heard on the pending motion? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Saline.
Senator, do you yield?
Very gladly.
He yields. Proceed.
Okay, let's go through what this bill does.
Okay.
It's your bill.
You're going to lead it, or am I going to lead it? Okay,
Go what you're doing, and then I have some financial questions to ask you.
Okay. The substitute modifies the bill in this way. Modifies the local regulation language contained in the section by removing the terms reasonable, industry, intent, and effect of. Now, that I don't know exactly why those were, but they wanted them out, we took them out. Modifies the term substantially rebuilt to mean any reconstruction or repair of a sign that requires a replacement of 51% rather than 50%.
I'm kind of one of those people. When I do class, I try to do the picture. I always worked with the boards better than I did with the books, so to speak. So describe to me, what are we doing? We have an old dilapidated billboard, falls down.
Falls down, it's dead.
So what is your bill doing? And we passed that how many years? That was passed 10 years ago. Was that by a vote of the people?
Actually, the vote of the people failed, I think.
Okay.
And quite frankly, I've forgotten. The 99, there was a 99 bill, and then there was one that came back.
In the whole 90s, there was a big push to have these scenic byways.
Right, and eliminate billboards.
And that's what we're dealing with after those years of establishing some type of scenic byways, is when a billboard falls down.
It stays down. And this bill doesn't change that.
Under current law, once it falls down, they can't go back to the property owner and say, I want to rebuild it?
No.
If it is
a non-conforming billboard, it cannot be rebuilt. What happened was that the law, the spacing was changed in 99, and I think I'm right on the name, on the date, but I wouldn't swear to it. The bill, the spacing was changed from 500 feet to 1,400 feet.
Just from a major interstate or from any?
No, between signs.
Between signs.
Right.
Okay.
And so we passed the 99 law, and that meant that any billboard that's beyond, well, any billboard that's less than 1,400 feet from the next one is a non-conforming billboard. And under federal law, MoDOT cannot move a non-conforming billboard. You cannot replace a non-conforming billboard. You can only repair a non-conforming billboard, but not the law says 50%. I move it to 51.
50% to 51. What is that?
Well, what it amounts to is that if it's a wooden billboard with wooden posts, you can go in and replace less than 50%. So if you've got four wooden poles, under present law, you can only replace one pole every year, and under this, I would allow them to replace two. I mean, that's 51% as opposed to 50. I mean, and there's no contention on that. I don't think that piece has not been contentious at all.
The replacement of the billboards, trying to fix one up.
You can maintain it,
But once it falls, you can't.
But once, if the tornado comes through and knocks it down, you can't put it back up.
Billboard.
If it falls down, you can't put it back up.
Billboard moratorium during periods of highway construction.
Right. You point out that this is forward-looking, but I'm an optimist. You can't be a farmer without thinking next year's going to be better. And at some point, we're going to replace I-70, I-44. And what this allows for is it says that during construction, there's a moratorium. You can't go in and build new billboards during the construction period. So it allows for a moratorium during the construction period. It also creates only for the period that the highway is under construction. It creates a class of conforming out of standard, which allows MoDOT to move a non-conforming sign. And that basically saves them 75%. It costs about 25% of the value of the sign to move it. They have to pay 100% if they don't. So what this does is allow for just during construction and just during that, there can't be more signs built, and it allows MoDOT to, if they choose, to move and reset a non-conforming sign. Then once it's moved and once the construction phase is over with, it goes back to the same standard it had before. So it's still a non-conforming sign. If it blows down after that, it can't be rebuilt, it can't be replaced. And then the other thing that I think everybody's missing is that they're not allowed to improve signs, a non-conforming sign, but a lot of these signs have very expensive lighting on them, and you could go in with this bill, they would be allowed to go in instead of having the floodlights that creates all the light pollution that people are concerned about. It would allow them to use LED lighting or so that, and much more energy efficient lighting, which would create a lot of jobs.
It allows electronic billboards.
It allows them to update signs.
Electronic billboards.
That or LED lighting, just a more efficient lighting process.
I'm not saying anything, but when we're talking about all these, it's the kind of billboards that you can have a billboard every 2 or 3 minutes, then it changes.
I'm sorry. It's a
continual changing lit billboard.
It would allow for those. What I think is, if someone put those up, you probably would see eliminations of others because you can have too many. You know, you're not going. Everyone's not going to be that way.
You drive Highway 70. We talk about this every year, don't we?
Yeah. I'm tired of talking about it, Senator.
I'd
like to get something done.
I'm not. MIZZOU, right along going.
But see, I'm a graduate. I like that. That's encouraging to me.
I graduated too. What's the cost?
The cost?
Well, here's what you're doing, and probably here's the issue that I have always had. Is you get into, we're going to rebuild Interstate Highway 70. We are going to rebuild Interstate Highway 44. We're going to rebuild Interstate Highway 55. But, oh, by the way, we don't have no money to rebuild all these highways.
I told you I was an optimist, Senator.
Optimist. We have a governor and a legislature that continues to say, no new taxes. We have bonded ourselves that we can't borrow no more to build any more highways.
Well,
we just don't have.
I'm not for bonding, so I'm not. But
well, we already.
Let me classify that. Under Amendment 3, we have used up the bonding capacity that the stream of money for Amendment 3 will. But that was in the Constitution. That was an amendment that was passed. That's in the Constitution.
The bonding capacity, I believe it was in 1997, around that time, so that we could go out, I guess, and borrow money and build it with the philosophy, which I agreed with. I'd rather fix the leaky roof than to wait for the leaky roof to destroy the inside of my house. It will then cost me more. But if this billboard issue is such a big issue, why are we doing... This is definitely the cart in front of the horse. We are dictating public policy of how we're going to deal with billboards before we have the money to deal with the roads. What is the financial burden on the taxpayer to deal with your bill?
None. In fact, it would be the other way. What this bill would do would reduce the financial burden on the taxpayer.
It reduces it because you're giving them the incentive of 25%. I still, when you get a billboard put up, you purchase a piece of property from an individual, correct?
Either purchase or lease.
Okay. And then when MoDOT has to purchase property, they have to go purchase that property and with their responsibility relocate the billboard.
No. Under present law, if it is non-conforming, they have to purchase the property as well as the value, the present value of the earning value of that billboard. They don't have any.
So by putting more billboards up, we are increasing
the cost of the highway. This is not more billboards. There's nothing in this. Present law would...
Wait, Senator, don't get aggravated with me.
No, I'm not aggravated.
You're saying this is nothing about billboards. The whole bill's about billboards.
There's nothing about building billboards. Okay. There is nothing in here that allows more billboards to be built. We are still restricted to the 1,400-foot level, just like present law. There is nothing in here that will create more billboards.
Where is the issue of contention, then? You're taking rights away from local municipal governments?
I am not.
I am asking. Don't get too aggravated. Okay.
Senator, I'm not aggravated.
Let's keep it friendly. You need to realize
this is. I'm just a. But it is. You know, it is something that I am frustrated with. I will guarantee that. But I'm not frustrated with you. I wouldn't do that. This allows. It takes all the financial burden away from municipalities. It allows them to have more strict ordinances than the state. The only thing it does not allow them to do, I mean, we gave on every single point up to the point of outlawing billboards outright. And it's a legitimate business. There's a lot of businesses that depend on that. And they can restrict it more. They can be more restrictive. They can pass any ordinance they want to do, except totally outlaw billboards.
Totally outlaw existing billboards.
Yes.
And where has the municipal? Who has been the negotiator for the municipal government?
Well, Richard Sheets. Well, that's a good question. I mean, Richard Sheets was the one that
Senator. When have I not asked a good question? Okay.
Well, I've been trying for years to figure out who to negotiate with, who could say, yes, that's it.
I guess it's individual municipalities have issues with it.
What's that?
Individual municipalities.
Yes. I'm sure that's the case. I do not.
I dealt with this issue 1 year with you, last day of session.
It's one of the things that I have been concerned about since I first got here, because I was given bad information, and from the other end of the building, I was told that there was an agreement. I told you there was an agreement, and that's something that has bothered me for the last 7 years, because I want anything that I say on this floor to be absolutely right, and that is something that has concerned me. I still am concerned about it.
What are the billboard companies, why are they wanting this legislation?
Two reasons. One is that they want to build, I mean, it's to their benefit too to be able to just have MoDOT, instead of buying them out, when you move the billboard, they don't have to go to the 1,400 foot, they get to just move the billboard. And so if you go to the 1,400 foot, under present law, without this, the MoDOT would have to condemn the billboard and it would go away. They couldn't put it back.
Are they pushing for this legislation to ensure that the date they do the so-called expansion, that I don't think between Kansas City and St. Louis, once you get to the rural areas, we're ever going to see an expansion. The highway's still some parts of it from 1950. But are they doing this to ensure their investment is taken care of if and when the day comes for the expansion?
I don't think so. I think under present law, MoDOT would be required to condemn any billboards less than 1,400 feet apart, and they would not be able to put them back. So you would decimate the business if by the time we moved the billboards on the highways that I'm talking about, the business would be decimated. This allows them to take a billboard that's there now and move it, and instead of going through the condemnation process. This actually saves MoDOT somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 to $100 million. I mean,
is MoDOT in support of this bill?
MoDOT has helped in writing the bill to keep us in line with federal law. They don't take a position on it.
Okay, it looks like to me you have municipal and local governments that are against this in the outdoor advertising industry for it.
Now that was the testimony on the original bill.
Are any of these against, off the against chart?
Senator, I've not been given names.
Scenic Missouri, they probably are against everything.
Yeah.
City of Independence, I guess I'll have to ask the senator from the 11th.
As I said, I have not been given names. I think that we probably have reduced it down to one or two cities.
Missouri Municipal League?
Well, you know, depends on what day. You know,
I don't know. I'm asking sincerely.
They came back and said the deal was off the table.
The deal is off, so they're against it. How about the Missouri Association of Counties? Do they have a stand on it? Because not all property is located within
No,
the
I've
city,
not heard
so
from that group at all.
Okay. The city of Kansas City? I guess I can
They
ask
have
these.
Not made an official, and understand that we caught them right in the middle of a mayor's race and a turmoil, and the last I checked.
City of Kansas City, you're saying their mayor's race was turmoil? Huh? What's he talking about? Does Saline County have any turmoil ever?
No, Senator. We're bliss.
Well, you're going to be part of the congressional district.
I hope that we can be the soothing influence over the urban area and bring the temperature down.
Well, I guess that means you're far the redistricting map.
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll find out about that. We get to talk about that tomorrow.
You have the city of Columbia.
I would suspect, if I was going to bet, the city of Columbia would be one that would be against it.
Against it no matter what, probably.
Yeah.
Boone County. City of Branson.
I think we have satisfied their problems. I have not had that specific conversation on this bill, but I did have the mayor of Branson in my office, and they thought that I had taken, they wanted to see the substitute, and they indicated they thought that they were good with it. I saw her again a couple of weeks ago in Branson, and I think we're good. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I know absolute sure, but I think that the billboard industry is important to them, and I think we're good.
Okay, I'm going to inquire. What we tend to do is we all have a little bit of expertise in certain areas, and one of our colleagues used to sit on the Highway Commission, so I've kind of heard from your issue to educate me on this issue. If you don't mind, I'd like to inquire of another colleague. Could I get a cup of water? We changed.
Senator from the 13th.
I'd like to inquire of the senator from Cole.
The senator from Cole. The senator from the 13th would like to have an inquiry. Would you be willing to yield?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
He does. Proceed.
This is, I think, our actual first time of inquiring of each other on the Senate floor.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it.
Come a long way from North St. Louis, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, about 132 miles.
Is that how far it is?
It's about 132 miles from your old stomping grounds. Have you looked through or followed this bill?
Yes, sir.
At all? Could you give me some insight as a farmer commissioner, if I'm not putting you on the spot, of the cost? Because MoDOT has supposedly worked with them. Could you help me a little?
You mean MoDOT has worked with the municipal folks who...
Here's my issue. Is yeah. We're dealing with reset stipulations in state law
right.
that municipalities will work with. In the future, when we start building these highways.
Which we hope to do
yes,
someday.
In our children's lifetime.
Absolutely. We're both young, so that's a lot better goal to set. Than
but realistically, why... Realistically, do you have any idea of where the commission has been on this? This has not been the priority of setting public policy. The policy has probably totally been with what it's going to cost, how to get the revenues to deal with the cost of changing to get the money. Because do we have money?
No. Well, I mean, yes, they have money. But, you know, if
but
for all
we've
practical purposes,
we're at our bonding capacity, right?
Right. Right. As per the statute required us for Amendment $3, that was the condition was it was to be bonded in a four-year period.
And we're at that capacity, and now how much a year do you roughly estimate, or do you know offhand, we are going to have after we pay for maintenance and upkeep?
Not much.
To do new construction.
The rough number is there's about $600 million, and the commission originally, before Safe and Sound, some of these other initiatives, had roughly $300 to $400 million in the project in the STIP for our maintenance. They've raised that to $600 million so that they can keep smooth and safe the roads that we've been keeping and the new corridors that you've seen. And so additional dollars above that six are very, very light. And that's why you're seeing some of the things in the press where MoDOT is trying to make sure it right sizes and gets its organization mean and lean so they can deal with the budget cycle they're in. And for every dollar that they can save, they can put towards roads, which is what you and your constituents, my constituents want. So they're looking at everything they can that will help them put more money to the roads.
Realistically speaking, though, the priorities first would be Interstate 70 and Interstate 44 because they transgress east to west or west to east or southwest to northeast. But roughly the cost over the years while you sat on the commission of replacing Interstate Highway 70?
The estimate for 70, this is a few years old, was about $3 billion. And the estimate for 44 was in the $4 billion range. So the pair together was roughly $7 billion. And that's because it's an over 50-year-old corridor and the bridges and everything that's on it. You know, Missouri is blessed with valleys and hills and gorges, but it's also a curse when it comes to building highways.
I guess my questioning from the senator from Saline and just getting facts from you is $7 billion 2 to 3 years ago, and we're discussing the resetting policies of billboards along these two, which I do not see in the near future, especially with the economy having the revenues, especially with the increase of gas prices too. So the sympathy for the voter to agree to a gas hike, which would pay for it, is really going down, that the public policy of worrying about what we're going to do about the billboards before the financing for the roads is truly the cart before the horse. And I don't want to put you on the spot there, but
no,
that's where I'm going with this argument, is we're dealing with billboards in this interest group and not about the total issue of transportation. I cannot critique the senator from Saline for never bringing that up, because he actually brought up a sales tax issue about 4 years ago to try to find, I believe, like two or three billion, maybe seven.
Seven.
So that was probably the deal with the 44. 70. I felt kind of sorry for him the day he introduces it, the lieutenant governor's bashing it, so.
Strange but, things happen in this building.
Yes.
I've learned
How would
that.
You know that?
I'm finding out. I'm on a crash course. But if I don't want to speak for the commission. Obviously, they can
no,
speak for
I'm
themselves.
Just kidding.
But my, you know, my experience with how the body seems to think and move is that the department and the commission is totally focused on putting money on the roads. They think about it every day, all day long. Everybody in there, the task, the environment, the culture of MoDOT is how do we make our roads safer and how do we improve them and how do we give value to the citizens. So everybody in that department is always thinking about how to get more money to put on the roads for when projects move forward. I don't know if you're familiar with MoDOT's tracker measurement tool. It's a fantastic tool. Most more state government entities ought to use it, but it measures results. It's results oriented, and that's something unheard of in a lot of government agencies right now. And it's something we really need to, this body should start promoting for other departments to use. But at the end of the day, there are things out there available. MoDOT has applied for two or three times as part of some of the stimulus projects. I believe they're called Tiger Grants, where they were going to rebuild a section of Highway 70 if one of these Tiger Grants should come available. And the specific section they were looking at, I think, was 65 west to Concordia, where they could get the most mileage in with the right-of-way issues and the bridges. But as you know, when one of those grants become available, they have that shovel-ready catch to it. And so what MoDOT doesn't want to do is be in a position where they have an opportunity to take advantage of one of these, because, as you know, our state has been labeled by the federal government as Highway 70 as a corridor to the future. So there's four states in a row that are trying to improve Highway 70 all across it. And at a moment's notice, we could be available for a grant, as crazy as that seems. And they keep and continue to apply for it. So I think, and the senator from Saline could probably answer better than I could about why, but my answer why would be is that at any time, we're always applying for those grants. We're always trying to work with the feds on how to become kind of a pilot project for the highways to the future, and that is a reality that could happen. And when it does happen, first thing the feds will do is say, okay, are you shovel ready? And what we don't want to do is say, we might have the engineering, we might have the right-of-way worked out, but we got these other issues. We're trying to be prepared for when that day comes.
The money from the federal government, is it solely from the federal gas tax, or do they borrow, just like, are they part of the deficit reduction when they borrow and bring down federal transportation dollars? They're part of the borrowing.
There's several different pots that the federal government uses. Some is the reauthorization bill that you hear so much about that the federal government does. We're on our fourth or fifth extension of the current reauthorization bill. Then you have the gas tax. You know, we send the gas tax out to them.
We get about 90 cents back, don't we?
Well, we're up a little bit higher than that. I think Senator Bond did a great job of getting us up almost close to a dollar.
Wow.
If you look at all the ways we get it back. When we get that money back, we send it to them in one pot, and they send it back to us in several pots. And you have to spend it on beautification. You have to spend it on this surface and that surface. And so there's a lot of different caveats that come with that money when it comes back to the state of Missouri. We, the commission, the citizens, this body, wish we got it back in one pot so then the citizens could make decisions on where that money's best spent. But unfortunately, that's not always how it goes. But the Tiger Grant specifically were part of a stimulus package. So they were outside of the gas tax. They were outside of the reauthorization bill. And so my guess would be is that was part of borrowed money. But I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you have answered my question, Senator.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, I might add.
Yes.
Senator from the 13th.
Could I inquire the senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield to the inquiry from the senator from North St. Louis County?
I do.
She does proceed.
I have several amendments that I need to work on that I'm getting this up. I seen your city had some issues with this as well as some communities in my metropolitan area.
But yes, I've seen
that you were ready to get up and inquire on questions because
that
you
is
had
correct.
Issues on this as well.
And I appreciate your inquiry because I just had a visit from my city right when the bill came up and said that they are not in favor of this bill, that they feel it doesn't have the local control piece that they want. And
are you familiar with the local control pieces that these cities do want?
I'm not. I would love to hear more about that. I'd love the opportunity to have folks talk to me about it. I haven't heard it. I know I'm in favor of local control generally as a concept.
I am as well, and I have not had anyone talk to me about this except from the senator from Saline that brought it up. My issues are several fold, but the one being totally the cart before the horse. With it, the billboards are just like any other industry, trying to make sure that they stay in existence and survive,
sure.
Which I understand that. They did a very good job when the issue went to the ballot. They put up all these billboards along 70. Have you ever driven in a state with less billboards?
With less billboards?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was
nice.
Driving Mississippi and Alabama. They, for some reason, do not have a lot of billboards.
Really?
And I was, when I was driving my son to college in August, kind of excited. He's coming home, and he promised he'd come up and spend 2 days with me the second last week of session. So hopefully that happens. But we were driving, and I said, do you know anything about this interstate? And as we're driving, and he, no, just like an 18-year-old. Nope,
sure.
Don't realize anything. I says, you notice there's no billboards? And he says, wow, I did not notice that, but there were no billboards. There were the exit signs of what's off that the highway department runs, but that was interesting.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, I grew up in the Ozark Mountains down in Branson, Missouri.
They got a lot of billboards now, though.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate because, frankly, one of the best parts about the Ozarks, I mean, put aside all of the great tourist attractions and the fact that I've got family down there, one of the best parts about going down there is just the beauty of the drive, and unfortunately, increasingly over the last 20 years, I'd say, the billboard situation has gotten out of hand. Along there. It's just no longer the drive that it used to be. And then, strangely enough, when you cross into Arkansas, and I don't know if their laws are any different or if it's just because it's not as big of a tourist draw, but all of a sudden it just gets prettier. I mean, you've got the same landscape.
Yeah, now that you think about it, I remember Arkansas, Mississippi, I think even Louisiana as I was driving down, less and less.
Yeah. I mean, because I've actually driven, I think it's 65 that goes all the way through Arkansas, and you can get down into Louisiana even on it. And it's just beautiful part of the country, but it's absolutely night and day when you cross that state line on the number of billboards that are there. So I would actually like a lot more information about this bill. You know, this is one of those bills that there's been obviously a lot of opposition to it in the past. I know the former senator from the 24th had some major concerns about this bill in the past, and so this is my first time to really spend a significant amount of time looking at it, but I do have a big concern that my city is not happy with this.
Would you prefer me giving you the opportunity to inquire of individuals so you can educate yourself while I research some of my past, because I did not know the way we were going through this was going to pop up, and I think the senator from the 11th has some issues as well.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fine.
Mr. President, thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption? Senator from the 10th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the senator from the 11th?
Senator from the 11th, do you yield the inquiry?
I yield happily, Mr. President.
He does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I'm not sure if it was true or not, but the senator from the 13th said you had...
Actually, I was going to inquire of the sponsor was my only role, and I just saw in the bill brief that my city had testified against it, and I didn't. He's more familiar with how where we're at.
Sure.
I heard him and the senator from third talk about that they tried to work through, and that people had changed their mind, and I fully understand that. So I'm not. I remember this issue, and I'm not hostile to the attempts of one of my colleagues to try to advance something. So I'm not trying to necessarily delay the bill. I actually just had some questions, and I'm just going to try to determine why my city voted against it and what part of, or why they were against it, testified against it. And I'm guessing it probably deals with this whole component of the, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I would guess it has something to do with this whole process of where the interaction between the local and MoDOT, and you know, I'm not necessarily always agree with municipalities, and you know,
sure,
I certainly don't always agree with MoDOT, and this just seems to be one of these bills that I remember from the past, which is two bureaucracies, whether it's a state bureaucracy or a local bureaucracy, warring it out. So I just wanted to give you my read. It appears there's questions on the bill. My only questions were going to be not an elongated, you know,
sure.
effort. I just wanted to try to, when this bill came up, I just saw that my local city, and sometimes my local city is completely and totally wrong. But
well, it sounds like you may have.
That was my role in this.
And that's the situation that I'm having right now, Senator, is my city just came and said that they were opposed to it, and I need a few minutes to figure out why my city is opposed to it so I can make the determination whether it's a valid concern or whether it's a bunch of bunk.
I'm happy to try to be facilitative, and you know, I'm not, my desire isn't to necessarily delay the Senator from Swain's bill. However, if others have amendments, we're going to get to this point anyway. I heard some reference from the 13th. So if you need to clarify something, you're inquiring to me. It is highly likely, if not probable, that I could then likely inquire of the bill sponsor.
I think that sounds fantastic. Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from the 11th.
Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from Saline?
Senator from Saline, do you yield?
Yes.
He does proceed.
Thank you. Senator, my questions were, this bill was not, I have a full memory of this bill, and I know you've been working on this issue. I did listen to the conversation you had with the senator from the 3rd. Well, just tell me, what's the city's beef?
Well,
and then I heard you talk to the senator from 3rd that you have tried to accommodate that, and then just tell me how you tried to accommodate that. And
they were concerned, and here was my original position was that you know, I'm a transportation guy, so that's
right.
where my focus is. Originally, I said that if a billboard in the city had to be moved. And MoDOT determined that there was, and MoDOT and the industry determined there was a spot they could move it to, then MoDOT would pay the cost of moving the billboard. And if the city decided that they didn't want the billboard, then they would pay the difference between condemning the billboard and the moving. And from a country boy, that sounded fair.
Okay.
We have since taken all that financial obligation out of the bill. That's one of the things that the substitute does. It takes absolutely all financial obligation for any municipality out of the bill. If they don't want a billboard moved, they say no, and that's it. We further sat down and agreed that they can make ordinances more strict than the state. They can do whatever, in their city limits, they can do whatever they choose. They can choose not to have electronic billboards. They can choose to do whatever they want. And we've given on every single item that they brought to the table. And the substitute addresses that. Every single item we gave on. And Richard Sheet says, I think that's it. And then somebody says, well,
and who is he?
He works for the Municipal League, and he was okay. The one I was directed to negotiate with. Now, I will tell you, I have not been in negotiations because I've been too close to these over the last 4 or 5 years. I asked the senator from Christian and the senator from the 3rd to because they're mayors. They understood this. When I brought this up in committee, all three mayors had a problem with it. And after we've gone through this, I mean, we go through this every year. I have had one agreement after another agreement, and when I get here to the floor, something else goes on. And so it's one of those moving goalposts that I can't catch.
What's their present objection to the bill? Do you know that?
I think the present objection to the bill, we give on every issue on local control, except we do say that you cannot outlaw billboards.
Can they do that now in the status quo?
No.
Okay. Can you in this bill, in the substitute, can you just walk through me just real, this whole reset sign?
That's really in the original bill.
Okay. And you have lost that, right?
In what's the sub? That? I've taken that out.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm going to work off the summary because that's the simplest. It removes the language which would have required local zoning authorities to reimburse the commission the cost to condemn signs if they choose to prohibit resetting. It's out, gone.
And then what? Tell me what this modifies the term substantially rebuilt. What is that?
That's a non-controversial issue.
I'm not a sign expert.
I understand. What right now under a non-conforming sign, you can go in and maintain the sign. If it has four posts, wooden posts, you have to go in 4 different years to remove the posts. All that does is if this would accidentally pass, then they would be able to go in and replace two posts in 1 year instead of having to do it every year. It's not going to affect the life of the sign. It's just, you know, it's a convenience.
Okay. So we're not forcing them to do anything.
We're not forcing them to do anything. We have given on every single issue that has been brought up. And Senator,
I told you a few minutes ago, my city is often wrong, so yeah. I'm not up because of that. I just heard a couple of my colleagues, and I just thought they had that, and I know.
Are you ready?
I'm hoping that they hope somehow maybe get their questions answered, and so that's
Senator, I've decided there is no way to answer these questions. So.
Well, I've also been involved in negotiations where people backpedal and what they told you.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
one day
and
is
I just, you know, I have been frustrated with this for 4 or 5 years. Obviously, we're not going to come to a solution. I did bring in, you know, my three mayors that were on the committee to substantiate that, and I stayed totally out of it this year. But I think we're going to roll this over and probably dig a hole and bury it. So, thank you.
Well,
Senator.
I wouldn't give up, and I don't. I don't want to be killing your bill.
I just heard that change.
I just heard that people had questions, and I mean, they might be able to get it. I mean, from your explanation, I'm for it. I don't have,
yeah,
you know.
And I'm not worried about you.
I just don't worry. Maybe you should be worried about me more often. Anyway,
I've always found you to be very forthcoming.
No, and my attitude is, I just, you know, all these bills always involve MoDOT, who can be wrong, the city, who can be wrong, and what I mean is, it's a bureaucratic battle sometimes. And you just feel like going, blah, 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 you know.
What I would like to do. I mean, if you have an opportunity to find a way out, I'm here and willing to accept anything I can accept. I do not want to waste the Senate's time.
Okay.
On something
are you going to lay it over at this point?
We're going to lay it over at this point.
Okay.
If anybody can find an answer to where we can get to, because I think you should just,
if you want to just keep it moving, I mean, I don't know what the senator from 13th is working on. I just take it and just keep the thing moving and keep the issue out there.
Let's roll it over and we'll come back to it maybe.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Saline.
Would you please put this bill on the informal calendar?
The bill will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd. The junior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, the informal calendar, Senate Bill, House Bill 209.
House bills for third reading, House Bill 209. Senator from Davies.
President, I move that House Bill 209 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Davies. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. I have a Senate substitute that was sent forward but returned but not ever returned. I think it's still at the dais. I would move for the adoption of the Senate substitute. It has been distributed. I request a waiver of the reading.
So you're reoffering the same substitute?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And it has been distributed?
It has been distributed, requesting a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe there are a couple amendments that need to be offered. The senator from Buchanan has one, and the senator from the 10th has one that cleans up the issues that were raised earlier. And so with that, I would make the motion for the adoption of the Senate substitute, and happy to answer questions.
For the motion from the senator from Davies, is any senator desiring on that? The senator from Buchanan County, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
The amendment has been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading, and I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Hearing no objection, the reading shall be waived. Do you care to explain the amendment, Senator?
The amendment simply would add Dade, Jasper, Newton, and Cass counties to the list of counties that would be allowed to pass a nuisance ordinance. This would make the language pretty much the same list of counties as in Senate Bill 25, which is my legislation.
You've heard the adoption motion from the senator from Buchanan. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Davies was first on his feet. Are you seeking recognition? He is not. Senator from Johnson, for what reason do you seek recognition?
To speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you. Senator from Buchanan has just offered the amendment. Is that correct? So, okay. He did mention that Cass County was included in that, and I do appreciate that, and I think it's a good amendment. And I do appreciate him doing that to take into consideration our counties and things like that, so I will be voting for it. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the amendment? Senator from Davies.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
This was language everyone agreed to. Added a couple counties for the senator from Newton and the senator from Johnson, and I would ask the members of the body to support the amendment. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Buchanan as he renews his motion. All those of the opinion that we adopt that amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment 1. Senator from the 10th.
Amendment.
Send it forward. Has it been distributed?
No, Mr. President. It is short and may be read.
Secretary? Read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 2 offered by Senator Justice to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 209, page 8, section 537.296, line 10, by striking the opening bracket, quote, bracket, close quote, from said line, and further amend line 11 by striking the closing bracket, quote, close bracket, quote, from said line.
Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would move for adoption of this amendment. If you take a look at the Senate substitute, which is on all of our desks on page 8, which is the last page, subsection 7, there is a set of brackets. Starts with where the amount in controversy exceeds $1 million. I am simply removing those brackets. It's my understanding that during the negotiations on this bill, an agreement had been reached that those brackets would be removed. This reflects that agreement. It's my understanding that the sponsor of the bill is welcomes this amendment, and also he agrees that that was part of the negotiation process. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 10th. Does any senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion of that amendment? The senator from Atchison, for what reasons do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President, to speak on the amendment. The senator from the 10th is right. This was an oversight. It should have been, those brackets should have been removed. I support her amendment and ask the body to also support it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion of Senate Amendment 2? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close. The senator from the 10th renews her motion that Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Bill 2 or House Bill 209 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment 2. We're back on the bill. Does any other senator desire to be heard on House Bill 209? Senator from the 10th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Speak on the bill.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to raise my continuing objections to this bill, that I raised when it was on when the Senate bill was on the floor. I fundamentally believe that if we have homeowners, property owners who have another entity who moves in next to them, and that entity is creating some sort of nuisance, and that they go to court and they get a judgment and the nuisance is not abated, they should be able to continue to raise that issue with courts. That's why I oppose this bill, and I would encourage my colleagues to do the same.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on House Bill 209? For the Senate substitute for House Bill 209. Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close on the Senate substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I close, as I mentioned during the debate on the Senate bill, what this legislation does is ensure that when an agriculture operation comes in, that they have the same protections under our law just as those in neighboring states, to make sure that our agriculture industry remains healthy and prosperous, to make sure that the farmers in our state have the same opportunities as farmers in neighboring states. And no industry, agriculture or other, can survive long term in an environment where unlimited lawsuits are brought. And I know that by all accounts, not everyone in here loves this. The senator from the 10th and I have a fundamental disagreement on this, but she has been very good to work with, as has others who have raised objections. And in my area, where there's literally thousands of jobs at risk waiting to watch if this bill is going to make it or not make it, I want to say thanks to all the members of the Senate for helping us and working through this and understanding the jobs that we are fighting to make sure that we can maintain. With that, Mr. President, I close.
The senator from Marys County renews his motion that the Senate substitute to House Bill 209 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate substitute is adopted. The senator from Davies.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would now move that Senate substitute for House Bill 209 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Atchison. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Atchison renews his motion that House Bill 209 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for House Bill 209, an act relating to nuisance actions. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt,
aye.
Stouffer, aye. Wasson, Wright Jones.
The senator from Lawrence votes aye. Senator from the 9th votes no. The senator from the 8th votes aye. Senator from the 24th votes aye. By your vote of 24 ayes, 7 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. As a constitutional majority is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. The staying on that, Senator from the 23rd District in St. Charles County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will yield the order of business of Senate Bills for Perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 230.
Senate Bills for Perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 230. The Senator from Marys.
I would move that Senate Bill 230 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Davies County. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from Davies.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 230 be adopted. What this does is this allows the Department of Natural Resources to give waste tires to private companies that can recycle or repurpose the tires for use in numerous products or processes. The way that it works today is that the Department of Natural Resources collects tires. They send a certain number of those tires to the University of Missouri to be burnt in the heating of their facilities. But after that, what they do is they actually pay a company from Kansas to come and pick up the tires and dispose of them in the landfill in Kansas. What this would allow them to do is it would allow them to transfer those tires to a private entity in order to get rid of them, and the private entity would be required to come and pick them up or pay for the transportation to get them from wherever the state or political subdivision has them to wherever they're being transported. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer it. Otherwise, I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Nottoway. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from Cape Girardeau, for what reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Mercer.
Senator from Mercer, do you yield to the inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator from Atchison, for yielding. I really do appreciate the opportunity to inquire the guy from Holt and Andrew and Livingston. And
I'm a man
I think we're only halfway through.
You're a quarter of the way through.
Quarter of the way through, yeah, on all of those counties that you've got up there in the great Northwest. We're not doing anything with the tire fee.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. No, all this deals with is that right now, believe it or not, under state law, they can take tires in, they can give some to the University of Missouri, but after that, they can't give them away. They actually have to pay someone to dispose of them.
In my neck of the woods, we have Lone Star. It's a concrete plant that's down in Cape that burns these, actually.
Right.
It's permitted, put special scrubbers on their incineration, and they use tires. And, in fact, because of this regulation, they buy a lot of tires from Kentucky.
Is that right?
And pay for them to come in when, last time I checked, we could burn a lot of tires.
Well, Senator, what I didn't know, and that's the reason for this bill, right, is I actually have constituents, a company up there that they take the tires, they can actually take, they actually break it down to the point where they actually get chemicals, the chemical makeup of the tire broke down to the point where they can take components of it and use it to make fuel. And so they break it, one part goes into fuel, one part goes into the creation of the black carbon, the product that actually makes it black. And that product itself actually is sold on the wholesale market. They can do this at like one-tenth of the cost of creating it otherwise. That's how I learned about this. I thought, you know, it's crazy that we're paying a company in Kansas to dispose of our tires when, as you know from firsthand experience, there are plenty of opportunities to use those within Missouri if we – and
Absolutely.
Those companies have to transport them, so there's no cost to the state at all.
Well, I agree. I appreciate you bringing forward this legislation and moving it forward, and appreciate the inquiry from the senator from Lynn, and you have a great day.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Worth.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Caldwell. Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 11th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the senator from Andrew?
From DeKalb?
DeKalb.
Andrew? Senator from Andrew, DeKalb. You yield.
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm trying to understand a couple of things. You've got a piece of legislation, but why are they having their tires shred in Kansas? I didn't catch that part.
You know, my understanding is
I mean, what I'm getting at is why doesn't the market take care of this without us being involved.
My understanding is that right now the state, once the state takes possession of the tire, they are not able to give it to another entity, i.e. a private entity. So because of that, we are actually having to enable that so that they can say, okay, listen, this was, we, the state took these in or a city took these in at, you know, cleanup days, whatever it is. But once they have possession of them, they have to appropriately dispose.
So you're, and then as far as the market force itself.
Yeah, that's not our
deal.
The
only thing you're putting on is sort of the protection that it's got to be a Missouri-based company.
Yeah,
right?
Actually what I'm hoping happens, Senator, is that they take all these tires in and they get to the point where multiple companies want them and they actually go out for bid.
Now the witnesses for in committee were your one of your county's economic development. Who is Damage Capital?
Advantage Capital is one of the investors in the carbon company that I referenced up in Northwest Missouri. They actually take the tires, they break it down, do it through a chemical process where they
Advantage Capital?
Advantage Capital is an investor in that company.
Don't they do the new markets tax
credit? They did the new
credit?
Market stuff, yep.
Is this part of any tax credit?
Advantage, I know, has received tax credits. I don't know if the carbon analytics company, I don't know if CMC is a tax credit company or not. I know that Advantage is an investor in carbon analytics. I don't know the financial structure.
Okay. Are there any tax credits involving?
No.
I mean, would this be a new market? Would this be?
Would this?
I mean,
this,
I, mean yeah. I have who testified, and when you see.
Yep.
One of the lobbyist names, I immediately think of a tax credit.
Jim?
Well, I'm not going to say his name. I'm just saying I know enough to know that it's usually there must be a tax credit involved.
Yeah,
when I heard Advantage, I just wanted
to
make
sure. I assure
you
there is no tax credit involved in this. Advantage did testify as an investor in that company, and what they testified to is one of their challenges in the business they've invested in is a steady supply of tires.
Why would the cement entities testify against
it? Because as the senator from Cape referenced, they actually are permitted, and with that permit, they are actually able to burn tires.
Okay.
So in the process of making cement, there's an incineration process, and as you can use different fuels, tires are one of the available fuels, and a lot of concrete plants actually burn tires.
Why would they necessarily be against your bill then?
No, they're for it.
Okay, I must have the wrong information. I thought that they testified.
I remember them testifying in favor
my sheet could be wrong, but maybe it was one of those strange things that I wish we wouldn't allow in the Senate. For informational purposes only, you can't tell if they're for or against.
Yeah, there was no one that testified in opposition to it.
No one testified against it? Okay, all right. Maybe I just have said that in error. Because I couldn't, by your explanation, I couldn't imagine why they would be.
Right.
They would want it.
They want it because it increases supply into their opportunity.
Okay, so even though we're dealing with Advantage Capital, who was.
Right, a tax credit.
I believe the senator from Second had. New markets tax credit. One of the last tax credits that made it through here, previous to the Ford Motor Company. I mean, was new markets, and I remember Advantage from then. I just was wondering. So they don't have some deal that's based on some tax credit that this facilitates.
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you,
Absolutely
Senator.
Absolutely not.
Does any other senator desire to be heard from the motion from the senator from Grundy? Senator from Saline.
Could I inquire the senator from Lynn?
Senator from Lynn, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Hi, Senator. As it turns out, I was dealing with a tire company that had gone, well, I don't know what you call them. They're insolvent in one of my counties. And there are a number of crumbles sitting in bags that are deteriorating, and the DNR was going to have to
pay someone,
those.
Yeah.
And pay somebody to clean the mess up. And in committee, we heard where the company in your area would be very pleased to pay for these,
right,
and pay for the transfer. And I think it's some of the silos that we build in government that don't make sense, and this is one of them. This allows the state and municipalities to get rid of something instead of paying to get a rate. They create a market for it and may actually put some money in the bank.
Well, you know, one of the things that came up during the hearing, as you referenced, is whenever these cities have these citywide cleanup days, you can bring the tires in, they'll receive all these tires and then not have a place or an ability to dispose of all of them. And they literally end up paying someone to take them. And what I'm trying to do is create a, for lack of a better term, open the door where literally people can come and bid. Because if you get enough entities, businesses, whatever it is, wanting these, there should be a bid process to get them. I mean, these are a fuel is what they essentially are.
They really are.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I applaud you for bringing this forward. It's amazing how these things affect multiple districts. I've got another tire outfit in Odessa that does the same thing, and they're, as far as I know, going well. But this company is owned by somebody in Switzerland or somewhere else, and quite frankly, it's the ugly stepdaughter, and I don't think anybody knows what to do with it. And so this will save the state, and I can't remember the number, but I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000 to $350,000. I don't remember the number.
Yeah.
But it's significant.
It is. And again, all we're trying to, we got all these political subdivisions sitting around with tires, and you've got all these businesses
that are
now operating who want those tires. And we have this artificial wall we've built in the middle.
Right.
And we're going to try to remove that.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard from the motion, the senator from Gentry? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Gentry renews his motion that the Senate committee substitute to Senate Bill 230 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate committee substitute. The senator from DeKalb.
I would now move that the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 230 be perfected and ordered printed.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I close, I just want to note what a wonderful job Secretary of the Senate has done this afternoon. As we move into early evening, I just think it's appropriate that the members of the Senate take a moment to be grateful, to give thanks and praise to the great Secretary of the Senate and the good work she's done. With that, Mr. President, I close.
The senator from Clinton renews his motion that the Senate Bill 230 with the Senate committee substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. The junior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports from standing committees. Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Send it forward. Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 300, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to senators are correct. Also, Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 337 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to senators are correct. Also, Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 238 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to senators are correct. Also, Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 360 begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished to senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the House?
Are there messages from the House? There are messages from the House.
Would you please have those read?
Secretary, read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has adopted Senate substitute as amended for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 163 and has taken up and passed Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 163 as amended. Emergency clause adopted. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Edipin Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the junior senator from St. Charles. All these opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned under the rules.